and thank you for choosing this Analyst Insight podcast from the Information Security Forum. Hello to regular listeners who have subscribed and are tuning in every couple of weeks to get those new episodes. And also hello to those who are joining us for the first time. The numbers are growing steadily. The audience is growing. Thanks to everyone for supporting us. Tell your friends, tell your colleagues. This is the way. These podcasts will be looking at lots of different topics, so if there is an issue you think we should tackle, if you've got questions and comments on what we've already talked about, please let us know. Contact details are on the Audio Boom page where we collect every episode. This episode, however, is tackling a subject we've touched on before, which is about, and that's careers in information security. In particular, we are looking at the way that the city of Copenhagen has tried to solve some of its, I suppose, recruitment problems and to generate some interest in working for the city administration in their information security department. We've got a roster of experts involved in that project to talk us through it. My name is Mark Ward. I'm a senior research analyst at the ISF, and that approach of reaching out to people probably would have helped me when I was just getting started and working for a living. Sometimes I do feel like I missed my calling in information security. Perhaps that's why I've ended up here now. And if I'd not fallen into journalism, perhaps I would have been a pen tester or even by now a CISO. Who knows? But anyway, here to explain the Copenhagen project is Lisa Hartmann-Jensen, Chief Consultant for Security for the city's admin office. Lisa, hello.
Hello, good to see you.
Yeah, great to have you. Lisa, just quickly, how did you get into information security? I know a lot of people have quite diverse backgrounds before they get into the job, but yeah, just curious about where you came from.
Yeah, it was a mistake, or
it
was
so
by chance.
Times.
Yeah, I was actually working in communications with web, and I loved doing that, but then my contract ran out and I was also pregnant, so I had to figure out something else.
Okay.
And I decided to go back to university for a master's, and that happened to be in software design.
Okay.
So I started programming, and then on my third semester I had a security course, and the rest is history.
Yeah, I think
it was immediately just, I have to do this. I have to spend more time on this.
Wow.
And then I did that.
All right. So programming was the gateway drug for you, I think. I mean, for me, it was similar because I've messed around with code a lot. And I could have been a pen tester because I just love tinkering with that stuff and solving problems and just messing around. And yeah, that kind of, yeah, fiddling with networks. Was that particularly your kind of thing? Just that technical aspect as much as anything else?
Yeah, in the beginning especially. But I mean, I could use, because I have a communications background, that could just be used for so much. Because, I mean, it's all good and fun if you know how to pen test, but if you don't know how to communicate it, it's absolutely useless. So I thought the combination was just, it just made so much sense to me.
Absolutely. Yeah, no sense. I think those communication skills are going even more important. And yeah, doubtless we'll talk about that in this. But also here to explain their side of the project are two interns, I think, that are now working at in Copenhagen, Marie Pedersen and Tobias Bolt-Jorgensen. Hello to you both. Hello. And if you could quickly say hello and then just talk about how you came across this project, and are you regretting it already? Is it the greatest decision you ever made? Just, yeah, curious about your initial reactions.
Yeah, hi, thanks for being here.
So, Marie, why did you become a volunteer at Copenhagen?
Well, I have studied like industrial engineering, and I took a course in data security, and just was, I don't know, it was just a whole new world for me, but really interesting. And I started working in the city of Copenhagen as a student assistant, and found out that no day is the same as the day before, and I really like that part of the the work we do. Yeah,
I think, I mean, yeah. I think that's why I stayed in journalism, because, you know, every day was different. I mean, there were some commonalities, but yeah, you were chasing down different things every single day. And Tobias, how did you get into, were you part of the, did you hear about it via a school visit or something like that, or a college visit?
Yeah, for me it was, I have a background in computer science and got an interest for IT security while I was there, because development and the technical aspects of security is what interested me originally. I then took my bachelor's in IT security, and while I was doing my bachelor's, actually, Concern IT were out at the school and giving us a speech about what they do and how everything works at Concern IT. And that is actually one of the reasons that I then reached out and found a job advert out here. It made me even more interested, and now I'm working here full time as a security architect, and I love the fact that, just as Marie said, there's something new every single day. Not two projects are the same.
Sounds good. So it sounds like you're having a good time initially. And I'd also need to introduce Paul Watts, who's a distinguished analyst at the ISF and a former CISO. Paul, was it inevitable that you would have worked in information security? Was it a mistake, like Lisa?
I love the idea of it being a bit of a happy accident. I've heard that story before. I got interested in information security before it was really a thing. I watched a film back in the early 80s called War Games. It starred Matthew Broderick and Ali Sheedy, if anybody remembers. And that kind of hooked my interest, and I then got interested in a ghostwriter called Hugo Cornwell, or is Peter Sumner, as his actual name is. He wrote something called The Hacker's Handbook, and also a book on data theft, where he prophesied that data would become the next generation's oil and would become a commodity that would be ripe for exploitation and theft and so on and so forth. And that kind of got my interest. When I left university, I started in statistician, analytics, business intelligence, data warehousing, and kind of fell into cybersecurity, but never looked back. And, you know, completely to what Marie and Tobias have said, it, no 2 days are the same. You know, it is a constant learning journey. Everything is changing. The threat landscape changes. Innovations in technology change. You know, who knew that, you know, 5-6 years ago I would be freaking out about AI in quotes, and, you know, what that would do. So, you know, it is a brave new world, and it's exciting, and it keeps you interesting, but it's also frustrating in equal measure for reasons that we'll go into. The challenge that we've got now is sustaining the next generation of people with the same appetite and enthusiasm that we had. Which is why it's great that you know, Lisa and I spoke at a conference recently, and she told me about Copenhagen's approach to sourcing new talent, which I absolutely loved, and here we are today.
Yeah, Lisa, I don't know if you can talk about sort of the origins of the project. Was it just Copenhagen realised it had a looming problem of not enough people to do all the tasks, and that was why it came about? Or was it sort of, because I guess the large information security departments are fairly rare, so was it just you have a lot of jobs to do and just need people to do them?
I don't think that was actually how it started. I think it was just a coincidence, like many things. It was actually just because me and my boss thought, well, it's super important to tell people about what we do, both in security, but also because City of Copenhagen is a really large employer. We have 48,000 employees in City of Copenhagen and also some other places, but mostly here. And there are lots of jobs, but it's hard to know, especially if you're a young kid at school, what exactly is a municipality? What do they do? Okay. Why are they important? Yeah. So we started discussing this, and we decided, okay, so we need to tell someone about what we do. Also, I mean, and I'm interested in, because I think passing on knowledge, passing on stuff is super important. So, yeah. And I think I have the coolest job in the world, and I want to share that with everyone. I mean, come on, go to cybersecurity, because it's the coolest thing you'll ever do. I love going into work every day. And I mean, I just want to share that with someone. So I think that was just how it started. And then because I had great connections with the university I went to, and then I met someone somewhere and we talked at congresses, and then all of a sudden it just happened that it made sense, because we had like this common mission to just tell people about both about City of Copenhagen, but also about cybersecurity and why it's super cool.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, it always was cool, but we knew that a long time before everybody else. I mean, it's become cooler now, I think.
Especially the technical part. Yeah, and
that's true. Yeah, cyber helps. Calling it cyber.
But I mean, even if people, I heard once we were in the canteen with some of the graduates here from Concern IT, and they were like, "Oh, you know, protecting data is not very sexy." And I was sitting right next to her, and I just turned around and said, "You know what? I think it's super sexy. I think it's so sexy. I would wear that on a t-shirt." Yeah. So I mean, and she was like, I would wear that too. So I mean, I think it had also, it has grown. With GDPR has definitely helped,
yeah,
like making it more accessible and more understandable. But I mean, it's
yeah. I think particularly in Europe, I think there's I think there is that there's still that bastion of freedom of privacy. To be honest,
oh, yeah,
I think there's a lot
definitely.
Of places where it's really under siege and much harder. Definitely, yeah, mm-hmm. and that makes information security challenging in all kinds of ways. But Marie, Tobias, I just wonder if you. Are you the coolest kids you know? Do you do people think you've got a badge and a gun because you work in cybersecurity? I don't know, but is it Marie
dark
go to
rooms,
first?
Lots
is
of
it,
screens.
Do you enjoy it? It's a cool thing to do.
Lots of coffee.
What could be cooler? Yeah.
Late personally, night. Yeah. I think it's the coolest thing in the world. One of my friends he tells me that I should when I introduce myself and tell about my work I always like. Underplayed a little bit, and he always say like, you should say cyber. you should just say I work with cybersecurity, because then everybody would be like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, to be honest, I've started doing that when people ask me what I do for a living. I say I work in cybersecurity, and they go, ooh, do you? Yeah. It's I think it's definitely breaks down barriers definitely.
I think you should. My kids say to me that I'm a superhero. That's what I do for a living, because I protect other people.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So I mean, maybe you should try that, Marie. Just introduce yourself like that. Yeah. Hi, my name is Marie. Yeah. I work. My day job is that I'm a superhero. I protect your data, and it won't even be a lie, right? Yeah. I mean, I protect your data on a daily basis. You're welcome.
I've got it. I mean, that's the brand. It's the City of Copenhagen's super cyber heroes or something like that.
Yeah.
You've got to build on that. You've
super
got the t-shirt,
cyber
you've got the merch. It's all there for the taking.
Yeah. Tobias, you've got Bolt in your name, so surely that's going to be your superhero name, surely. But is it what you expect? Do you feel cool doing what you do?
I must admit, yeah, I do feel cool. And one of the original reasons why I actually got into cybersecurity was because cyber cool. So I completely agree with that fact and those things said. Yeah.
Yeah, I think as well a lot of people work in to go on about the superhero link, and a lot of people in cybersecurity have origin stories that are completely at odds with where they end up. Because I've met one guy I met used to be a surfer, not quite a professional surfer, but you know most of his spare time was spent surfing before he became an information security guy. He was very good in a crisis, very laid back. I met another guy who used to count nuclear weapons. Make sure that they were still had as many as they had the night before, and he was even better in a crisis as well. But I think a lot of people come to this in all kinds of ways. I've yet to meet a former lion tamer, but I'm sure it's only a matter of time. But because I think that's the as well. But increasingly, I don't know, Lisa, Marie, Tobias, those backgrounds. You need that diversity of view, I think, as well, because it's information
security
changes every day.
It's important that you don't have just one group of people. That will not make a good team for you. Because you need every perspective every day, because you don't know what you're gonna meet. So I mean, it's not interesting just to recruit one type of person with one type of degree. It's the interesting part is to have the diversity in your team. Like you also want male and female and or other sexes and old and young, and like you want that diversity, because that's going to help you when things go bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think certainly we try to reflect that at the ISF, but it's just that, because I think there's been a couple of situations recently where with some of the research we've been doing, and the younger members of the team have been the ones who caught us out a bit, because they've had a very different perspective on sort of, well, why are you doing that? And that's always a good question to ask.
I do think that from where we've come to where we are today, I think security, information technology rather, has very much mainstreamed. But we have historically drawn from a talent pool of people who are very, very technical. But as technology has become mainstream, that's actually been something that's held us back. So I love the idea of encouraging diversity into the industry, and not only diversity in neurodiversity, sexuality and so on and so forth, but also in terms of skill set. One of the things that we desperately need an injection of into cybersecurity are people with creativity. people with humanities degrees, the lion tamers. I mean, I'd love to see a cyber lion tamer. That'd be absolutely epic. But that broadness of skills makes us more compatible and relatable to the businesses that we serve. And that's so very vitally important. One of the things that I say when I go out and lecture to universities is, you know, don't just learn this textbook and recite it. You've got to pay attention to those softer skills that wrap around the technicalities of the day job and make you the rounded, talented, useful professional to businesses. But equally, we have to make sure that we don't narrow and shut out people who don't have, as Tobias said, computer science background, Marie, industrial engineering, you know. And if you're an artist, you equally have a part to play in the cyber industry. And I think as an industry, we have to do much better at making that message loud and clear, because I still think that there is more to do with that. Bring the creatives. That's my takeaway there.
Yeah, Marie, Tobias, if you hadn't been contacted or been part of this project, would you think you would be working in information security, or would you think you'd be doing something else?
I think one of the, I don't know if you can say a problem, but one of the things about recruiting people to this field is that people think that cybersecurity sounds cool. And one of the reasons why they think it sounds cool is because it's kind of, you think about it as something that's kind of hard to achieve, or something that's, you don't think of it as a process of getting like a higher, like, working on cybersecurity, or you just think that, I don't know if it makes sense, but you just think, okay, wow, you work in cybersecurity, so you must be really smart, or that must be really difficult. And I kind of felt the same way when I started. I sort of thought, I don't know that many thing about cybersecurity.
Right. I see. It has that cost. It's that sort of people think, oh, it's all programming and it's all maths, so surely I couldn't do that. But you're right. Yes. Yeah. I mean, exactly. Yeah. There's much more to it than that. It's much more diverse. Yeah.
Yes, and I think that's something that's the thing you need to communicate. Actually, that it is diverse.
Yeah.
That you don't need to have those like hardcore programming skills. You can still work in cybersecurity in the field, even though that you have like a different background.
I do believe that if I actually hadn't been contacted or seen presentations or things like that, I probably still would be a data scientist and work in engineering and programming, because there is I would call it a sort of lack almost of what is it, what is in it. It is this little glorified pedestal of some sort that oftentimes I do believe that it is glorified to a point where it's, as Marie also said, it's super super difficult and you need to be extremely technical, but it isn't actually the case. We do need a lot of technical aspects and a lot of understanding, but in the end we also, as you've said yourselves, need the creative sides of trying to understand what could happen in a certain scenario and other views on a lot of these topics that we do work with.
Yeah, yeah, that's very true. Today. Yeah, because one of my boys was very interested in becoming a video game designer, but sort of was okay at maths, but not great, and was just convinced that he wouldn't be able to do it. But we did go and was lucky enough to be able to go and see some people who make games for a living, and just the range of jobs similar to information security. It's not all about
yeah, but
the
code. It's really funny, right? Because I mean, when I think about cybersecurity, I don't think of it as hard. I think of it as a process. I think of it as a journey. Okay. It's something never ending.
Yep.
It means you have to learn every day, because you are not going to keep up. There are new vulnerabilities. There are new threat actors. There are new everything. There's a constant involvement. And I don't see it as like you don't achieve it. It's a process. You can't achieve cybersecurity. It's not a thing. It's just a process, a long process of just working on becoming better and better and better. And I mean, also not just better, just changing, because things are changing around you. So I mean, I don't. It's super weird that it's so like glorified, and people are like, wow, that's so cool. And you're like, yeah, but you know, I spent a lot of my day reading. Because that's, I mean, I have to keep up.
Yeah.
And then I spend a lot of my day writing because I have to make sure that other people keep up too. And I mean, that's not hard.
No, I agree. Yeah. I totally agree. That was actually also my point, that it's kind of weird that it is so glorified for other people who are not working in this field, because it is a process. And I think when you are studying, you sort of have an idea that you go to school and then you graduate and you come out with a degree and then you can do something with that degree. And there are some communication part where you need to communicate, like, yeah, you come out with a degree, but you can still learn something afterwards.
I think a lot of graduates don't have much clue about how to work for a living or what it involves, and it's quite a shock, I think, when they do get to the workplace. I don't know about you, Paul, but just if you're better, because I guess you had quite a technical background. I seem to remember you did A-level computer science.
I made it even worse. So I was when I went to select my GCSEs, I desperately wanted to do computer science GCSE, and in West Hertfordshire at the time there were no teachers who were able to teach it. So I made a case to say, well, if you could provide me with a little bit of tutorage, I'll have a go myself. And I did, and that was successful. And then they let me do AS and let me do A level and then on. But one of the things that I think I learned very, very quickly is that your classroom learnings only equip you to a certain degree for being effective in role. And this is something that I get quite annoyed with academia about. And I think, Marie, you kind of touched on this, actually, in that the sum of all of the parts of somebody who can be effective in this role is a blend of academic understanding of the topic, but then the experience of applying that. And that creates a bit of a problem. If you look at the ISD Squared workforce study in 2022, they said 464,000 new workers joined the cybersecurity industry. But in the same year, the workforce gap grew to 3.4 million. So then you have a problem. As a hiring manager, I look at the market and I look at my workforce and I need to fill those roles really quickly. But I need experience. So if I have somebody who's just left university, who has been told by their lecturers that they're going to walk into a six-digit euro job straight out of university because they've got a degree, and then they go into industry and they face a hiring manager like me who actually isn't interested in that. I just need somebody who knows Azure and has some experience and can just get on with it. The academia loses out without the lack of experience. Now, to deal with that...
But also, that doesn't really make sense to me. Like, why would you want experience?
Because when you need to get things done... And you need specific technical experience, you don't have the time to invest in somebody who's just fallen out of university. I'm not saying it's right.
But I think that's wrong because that's also one thing we look at. Like, we don't necessarily want experience because if you come up from university or from another school, you have so many new perspectives that we need way more than somebody who's already really set in their ways.
Totally.
We're interested in investing in you as a person because you have something to give us that's way more valuable than someone with 10 years of experience could do. Now, not saying that I wouldn't hire someone with... I mean, sure, but the diversity is so important. And also for cybersecurity especially, I would love to just take someone in and they could do the job, but I can get no one. Because everyone is going to have to learn our way of doing things. So it's going to take half a year, no matter if you have, not always, but most of the time, it will take me time, or take someone time, whether you have 10 years of experience or none. But actually, because you're already in a learning mind, because you're straight out of school, it's a bit easier.
But this is what I liked about the story. This is why I thought that this would be a good conversation to have, because you're absolutely right, 100%. We need to invest in in these people so that they can build the experience. And industry needs to find the time to equip these individuals with the experience. And it's that becomes the challenge. So, you know, if an organization is favoring experience over the ability to bring somebody up to speed and nurture their early formative years in their career, then that is absolutely a misservice to the next generation workforce. You're dealing with a short-term problem by investing in experience, but you're saving a long-term problem up in that you're not investing in the next generation workforce. And that is why, you know, schemes like and the approach that you take at the City of Copenhagen are so vitally important.
I mean, when we hire, it's also not necessarily about how skilled you are in cybersecurity. We the most important thing when you walk in that room, so now you know this, Maria and Tobias, the most important thing for us when you walk into that room is that you have drive, that we can see that you want to work, that you want to work for us. I mean, as that the municipality makes sense for you, because there's always someone with, oh, money drives people, we can't afford, da, da, da. But there's so many more things that can drive you. Like, for me, what drives me is the meaning. I go to work every day and my work makes sense to me. It's just a small difference that I make, but I make a difference.
Yeah, but I was going to ask that about sort of living. I guess you all live in Copenhagen. So do you wander around and sort of say, I did that. Is there a sense of kind of I'm involved in what's going on in this city?
I feel that way. Every time I see someone, remember, we're 48,000 in the city. So every time I see one from a nursing home or working on wiping the streets or whatever, I think that's my colleague. So, I mean, there's also just this proudness of being part of this huge machine where, I mean, we have powers to do insane things that I couldn't imagine doing anywhere else.
Yeah, I feel the same. Actually, I feel it often when I ride my bike through the city and I'm like, I worked on that building.
Excellent.
Not on that specific building, but more like I was in that project.
Right.
That's nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's quite an important factor as well. Yeah. I love that. The fact that you've got that energy and enthusiasm is you understand your contribution to the mission of the organization. All right. And you can take some pride at cycling through the streets of Copenhagen saying, that was me. I did that, got involved in that. One of the things that's really important in any trainee internship or even this applies to mainstream as well, is just because you work in security and you feel that you're a cog in a bigger machine, you know, it's incumbent on the leadership to make sure that everybody who works in that function understands why they're there. It's very, very easy to work in information security and risk management and forget that, and being completely consumed about worrying about risk, worrying about threat actors, and not actually transforming that conversation in your head as to, I'm making a positive contribution to the city of Copenhagen. I built that thing. I did something special. And because that motivation and enthusiasm just takes our desire to work in cybersecurity to that next level, you know, that emotional connection to the values and mission of the organization, that's very, very important. And it's just really nice to just hear that you have that relationship with actually, you know, what the engine room of the City of Copenhagen is trying to do. I speak to others where they're very disconnected, and it's just we're pushing stuff around a desk, we're ticking boxes, we're complying with regulations, and completely forgetting that whole purpose of why you're there. And that's vitally important.
But ultimately, I think that having done a bit of work on leadership and talked to quite a lot of CISOs, I think some of them are quite starry-eyed about what they do, and that's a good thing. And that they do see it as a sort of, you know, that public good aspect to it. But just, I think, I just wanted to sort of round things off with some final thoughts from everybody. It sounds like the question I was going to ask is this a good career to get into? And I think we've broadly agreed that yes, it is. It's cool. You're effectively superheroes. There's a lot of pride in what you do. But I don't know if, Paul, if you were talking to yourself all those years ago, would you say get into it kind of thing? Or is it, I don't know, what advice would you give someone if you were, you know?
The advice I would give my former self would be become very, very broad-minded, be inquisitive, be innovative, And although you work in a framework of laws and regulation and policy, don't be afraid to challenge them. Just because you've always done it that way doesn't mean that you have to do it that way tomorrow or the next day or the next day.
If I had to give, not to me, or maybe also to me, I would say just one thing, just have fun. Just have fun. You can do so many things in your life. Just have fun while doing it. Choose something fun. It doesn't matter if you study arts or music or whatever at the university. Just study something that you love studying. Just enjoy it. Life is too short to just not be happy.
Yeah. Great advice for any career and any life. Thank you for that. Tobias and Marie, I'm not going to ask you give advice to your younger selves because you're both very young already, but I just wondered, do you have ambitions for where you want to get to? Do you want to be a CISO? Do you want to, I don't know. Tobias, where are you headed?
To be honest, I actually don't know where I am headed.
Well, that's good too.
In my information security journey, but I hope that I'll continue to better myself in every possible way.
Okay, excellent. Marie?
Paul's point was quite good. I think for me, it's just stay like open-minded about everything. That's a nice goal.
Sometimes tricky to do when you're sort of, you know, in the, as they say, in the swamp, trying to drain the swamp and being attacked by alligators. But yeah, I think, yeah, keep an open mind and yeah, sort of, I think as well, what's been really fabulous about this is just the, how happy everybody looks to be working in information security. Often when you talk
it's
to people, they're
like
another day
of like
the cold face kind of thing, solving problems,
the thing you have to recognize in cybersecurity is you have to take the rough with the smooth. You know, there are dark days when you're dealing with a breach or an incident or something bad is happening, but there are also good days when you can make a positive difference to the organisation and further its betterment. And you just have to recognise that. It's not all doom and gloom. You know, there is a lot of positivity, and I think Lisa nailed it in terms of you just got to have some fun whilst doing it. I did have one question before we finish, Mark, if I may, and it was actually one for Lisa. You know, I like to end these podcasts with something really actionable. Not every organisation is on the same trajectory or journey as you, and you know. And as I said, you know, there is a pressure on hiring managers to just find the people who can do the job, and that is to the detriment of investing in the future workforce. So, if I was an organisation just starting off, thinking I need to do my bit to nurture tomorrow's security workforce, where would I start? I mean, you said it was a bit of a, you know, bit of an accident and scaling was difficult, but what advice would you give an organization thinking about incubating an internship regime or graduate scheme or something like that?
I think the graduates and the interns, you can start that off pretty easily, and then you want to go to some fairs, talk to some students, send some young people. They don't want to talk to people over 30. I mean, it makes no sense for them. Sorry guys, but I mean
I'll
mean
just
think
well.
About that. Also, if you meet someone, you also want some diversity at that stand, because you want to show that you have everything and you want someone they can relate to. Okay, so maybe somewhere you also want someone over 30, but anyway, someone they can relate to. Maybe they studied the same or something. There has to be something that's relatable. And then go to some summits, go to some conferences, network, talk to people. You will quickly see that we're all in the same journey and someone has already gotten somewhere, you know, that, and you can just hook into it. Because I find that everyone I meet in this industry is just so, they just want to share. Mm. So if you asked, oh, so you've done that, that sounds really cool. Do you, maybe we can talk about it. They'll be like, yeah, sure. Or maybe someone is like, oh, you know, I actually need someone to speak at this event. Could you be interested? You go, yeah, sure. So, I mean, everyone is just helping everyone out. So I'm not saying it's easy, but if you can network, that's going to help you very easily. Okay. I was at a conference last week, no, 2 weeks ago, and I met someone from your class, Tobias, and I stopped him and said, hi, I remember you. And he was like, oh, I remember you too. I'm looking for a job. He hasn't sent me an email yet, so he's probably not that interested.
Power of networking.
Get on his case.
And he was like, I want to know what it's like working with you. And I was lucky because I had my colleague who was working in the SOC just next to me. So I was like, here, you talk to him. Mm. He can tell you what it's like working. So, I mean, also just maybe don't forget about the traditional way. Do things that match you or your organization or even your person, your personality. Yeah. Like this fits me because I love talking to people. Hmm. If you don't like talking to people, this won't work for you.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different styles in information security, and that kind of has to match with your organisation. But it sounds like I to be honest, I want to work for the city of Copenhagen now. It sounds like a great place to be.
I asked first.
You're always welcome.
Well, as you said, Paul, there's been bad days and good days in information security, and this has been a very good day. So thank you, everybody, for contributing and joining in. And thank you to everyone that's listening. Tell your friends. The audience is great. It's growing quite steadily. You can now find ISF podcasts on all major podcast platforms. Look at the show notes for our page on Audio Boom, where you can subscribe to make sure you don't miss an episode. You wouldn't want to do that. The podcasts are also available at securityforum.org. where you can also learn more about ISF research tools and guidance.